from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
Are they doing this for monetary reasons?
Well, everybody's doing everything for monetary reasons.
It's a simple life. It's not much, but it gets the job done.
Did I have more fun with the Bills during the drought?
All right. Want to get nuts? Come on. Let's get nuts!
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hey, everybody. Good morning. Shorts check. I'm in shorts. No, Josh.
I am in pants.
Pants. I am in a hoodie and shorts. It is hoodie and shorts season.
Yes. Great. Yesterday, I was wearing pants and a polo, though.
Okay.
Opposite. Yeah. Same vibe, though.
Sure.
Oh, it was so nice out yesterday.
So nice. Sleeping weather is just elite right now. We are days away. We are cruising on in.
Oh, yeah.
To the elite season.
Throw that extra blanket on, open the window at night.
Oh,
beautiful.
It's amazing. And for those of you that still, you know, love your summer and want a little more of it, you do get more. We've got highs in the 80s pretty much all next week.
All
so
right, right back at
one
summer.
Last look at summer and then, turn the page. We've got leaves change and all that good stuff. Hoodie and shorts, all the best stuff. Hey, coming up in about 10 minutes, we've got a guest early, really early. Which is kind of cool, right? So we don't often do guests this early. Not because we wouldn't do it, because the reality is, who would be crazy enough to be awake right now?
Waving some F1 guest on from England or something?
Right, right.
Because that would make sense.
A Premier League guest or someone about Barcelona or Australia where it's 6 p.m.
Yep.
No, we're going to have Bill's special teams coach, Bill's special teams coordinator, Matthew Smiley, in about 10 minutes. He's scheduled to join us. We were hoping to talk to him at training camp, and then our schedule got moved around. So we're going to talk to him at 6:15. He'll call in, and we'll chat about kickoffs and all that stuff, because while this third preseason game doesn't bring us starters, and we hope everybody gets out healthy, it is another rep for the special teams. And it remains one of the more interesting things about football this season, something that's new. So we'll talk with him about how it's going, right?
Yeah.
It is one of those things where, you know, you wouldn't expect to ask Joe Brady, the offensive coordinator, like, do you think you're going to be passing it this week? You know, he's coached a lot of offense, and offense has evolved, but it's not had this drastic change in 1 year like the special teams have. So it got me wondering, and I'm ready to talk about this, not necessarily with Coach Smiley, but as we go, let's fix punts next.
Hmm.
And here's a stupid question. 6:05. You ready for it?
Is it Let's Get Stupid?
Yeah, a little bit.
All right.
Not totally stupid. I think this is fair. And, you know, we might as well start special teams. Why is punting it out of bounds okay?
Because kicking it off out of bounds is not okay.
Right.
Yeah. Excellent question. Why is punting it out of bounds okay? You can't throw it out of bounds purposely. Right? Either.
Yeah,
that's a penalty.
Depends where you are. You can if you're in the tackle box. Receivers. Right.
We'll make it for the punter. If you're in the tackle box, you can't punt it out of bounds purposely.
It's got me wondering.
Intentional grounding.
Are punt returns still exciting?
They can't. I mean, they are more often probably than the kickoff has been, right? But not
very true.
But not that often.
But the punt, the reason, if anything, a punt return is more exciting than a kickoff return, it might really only be that you're just making sure, okay, yeah, it's our ball now. They did kick it to us. They We did get the ball.
Yeah, you're going to get more fumbles.
Yes.
You're going to get more. And also, when they fumble, the kicking team is right there.
You maybe don't have to field it. You know, there's a lot of different ways, but the punt has been totally whatever, whether it's coverage or the kickers or out of bounds or fair catches. You know, you still have the ability to pin teams deep. You don't necessarily want to lose that,
right.
But you could try to make it more difficult. I was looking up punt returns by season in the NFL. You know, is that number dipping the way that it had in previous years with kickoffs? And I'm not so sure that that's true. The record for punt returns in a season is 4 by one player.
Okay.
Devin Hester did that in 2007. A guy did it in the 50s. So you've got 50 years gap there with the same number of guys.
Yeah. Do you know how many punt return touchdowns the Bills have had in the last 10 years?
Is it like 3?
Two.
Okay.
2 in 10 years.
Yeah.
That's it.
Is that good?
You remember them, by the way? Actually, you would only remember one of them.
Leotis McKelvin?
That's further back.
Okay, CJ.
McKelvin had 3 of them, 2011, 20, and then 2 in 2012.
CJ Spiller?
Nope. Did he ever return punts? He must have at some point. You had one last season.
One last season.
Pretty important one.
Oh, right. Deontay Hardy.
Deontay Hardy.
Yes.
And that was the first one since another season finale against Miami, but that one I don't think mattered to the Bills. Isaiah McKenzie.
Okay.
56-26.
Yeah.
Miami maybe needed that game and the Bills didn't. And then before that, you have to go all the way back to Marcus Thigpen.
Whew.
Is that a name anybody had today on the show? Marcus Thigpen. 2 in 10 years.
2 in 10 years.
All right. Maybe it's not that exciting. Or exhilarating.
Well,
did Terrence McGee used to do punts or just kickoffs?
I think he did both.
Okay.
All right. The last time an NFL player had 2 punt return touchdowns in the same season, it was Nyheim Hines with the Colts in 2019.
Okay.
2017, 2016. You're seeing the same number pretty much. However, if you go back to the 2010s and the early 2000s, the number's a little higher. There were a couple guys with 3 punt return touchdowns in a season. Devin Hester, Johnny Lee Higgins. Hester had 4 in a single season.
Okay.
Had 3 again. I don't know. I just wonder if they're willing to fundamentally overhaul the kickoff, which had been a boring play, right? You could turn off the television. Would they do the same with punts? Would they say, hey, we really like what we've gotten out of this. We've gotten a little bit more juice.
Yeah.
Do we have to do that with punts? And my guess is there's not a clamoring for it. I haven't heard anybody talk about it this way, the way that kickoffs, it had been a couple years of kickoff, extra point commercial, kickoff commercial. The extra point got changed as well, as you all remember. Think about how different it got between a touchdown and the next team getting the ball. They changed both of those plays.
Yeah.
To keep you there right before or through or during a commercial break.
Ooh, you could accomplish 2 things here if we really wanted to, which is you could make a punt return more exciting. And of course, how would you do that? You would make it so that returning the punt is easier, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you make returning a punt easier, now I'm going to get some coaches that are going for it on 4th down more often because they're afraid to punt the ball to whatever format that we've created. All right, so let's make it easier. Make punts easier again. Right? Why not?
I mean, I'm not against it.
They should do it the same way you do the kickoffs. You punt the ball, you're not allowed to start running down the field until the punt return is caught.
You're gonna get 40-yard returns.
Yeah, that might be a little too much.
But anyway, on kickoff. So we'll talk to the Bills special teams coordinator coming up on kickoffs. I saw some numbers about this, and there was a story that the league might consider tweaking it depending on how things go in the regular season, because the million-dollar question, Joe, is will these NFL coaches who are, and we, this is something we can ask of Matthew Smiley, who are thinking about the preseason right now and just getting on tape returns, getting coverage on tape, once they get to the regular season, just say to the kicker, like, all right, in the end of the end zone, through the back. Hit that ball as far as you can. I know we practiced all offseason, but we really don't want to have to defend. We'd like it if we just were able to, you know, boot that thing and have it be a touchback. Because right now the touchback is the 30.
Yeah.
And there was a story. The NFL will monitor things. Don't anticipate a change this year. But it was brought up that the 35 could be the new touchback.
Yeah.
If, in fact, too many teams kick it into the end zone, that the 35 would be the touchback.
It's almost like a dare.
A punishment.
Yeah.
That's really what it would come down to.
Yeah.
It used to be kicking the ball out of bounds was the 40.
Right.
And if the touchback were to become the 35, I mean, think about how drastic that is. That's a 15-yard difference from where it was for years. So it is something to keep an eye on. I'd imagine that Coach Smiley does not want that to happen unless, you know, of course, you're the league and you're doing everything you can to make it so. No, we want this to be a play that is in play. And if you start making it
the same thing that it was before, then we're just going to go ahead and change it again.
Right. Maybe they would say the touchback is the 35, but if it rolls into the end zone, that's not a touchback. You are forced to field the ball if it lands in the landing zone, that kind of thing. So
could this be your version of saving something for the playoffs? Hey, we're going to kick the ball regular, like to the one, all year long. We think touchback is probably better, but we're going to wait until it's really important to when we actually do that, just to make sure that we have that option available to us.
Could be. I think it's working, though, right?
It's getting returned a lot more often, right? Like, it's around 90-something percent that you're getting these kicks returned. It's the preseason, so you really, I mean, you might as well return it, right, just to see in the practice things. There's really no practicing, hey, fair catching the ball. I don't know why you would do that. So I don't know how telling this is of the regular season, though. Like, I'm sure the number will go up, but are we going to get 95% returns in the regular season?
Well, there's two things. I don't know that we'll get 95%. The other thing we'll get is, if we're all being deep down really honest right now, do you care if a kick return gets gone for 50 yards on the Bills on Saturday? Do you care if a kick return touchdown for the Bills hits in preseason game number two? Like, oh, that's cool. They did it. Mm-hmm. But when it really matters is, you know, a format like 13 seconds or a format like, hey, you've got a 2-minute warning coming up and you're up by four and you're kicking deep and you give up a big return where you used to be able to very safely not have a return. So the kickoff itself, while it has been completely overhauled, it will soon enter the, hey, it's been overhauled, and it is now thrust into games that matter an awful lot. When the Chiefs and the Ravens play, that's our first real look at what two, I mean, John Harbaugh is a special teams coordinator. That's how he came up.
Yeah.
So I'd imagine he's got a lot of attention paying to this. And the Chiefs are 3-time Super Bowl champs, 3 and 4 years, where, all right, they're going to care 3 and 5 years an awful lot about this. So it's something to consider. We'll go to the Wester Hotline and bring him in. Bills special teams coordinator Matthew Smiley joining us on the Wester Hotline. Good morning. Thank you. It's Jeremy and Joe. Matthew, thanks for taking some time today.
Yeah, good morning, guys.
We're up early talking about kick returns. Are you a morning riser as it is? Are you an early bird to begin with?
I am an early bird, and that's the first thing I think of, too, when I wake up is kick returns. So this is perfect.
All right. Well, we were going way far out, like, will they change punts soon? So maybe we can get to that in a minute. How's it gone 2 weeks through? I mean, this is obviously a massive change in the NFL, and I'd imagine that special teams coaches around the league are still kind of, maybe it's head on a swivel, trying to figure out what's going on. How much of an idea do you feel like the NFL special teams coaches have on what this new format will ultimately bring?
There's definitely a lot of learning. So the learning curve is steep. Through spring, through the preseason, everybody's getting more comfortable with it, I think, around the league, both players and coaches. But there's you know, who knows what's right around the bend as we get into the regular season and guys continue to try new stuff out.
Has there been, this might seem crazy, but again, has there been collaboration between coaches, whether you're reaching out to retired coaches or current special teams coordinators? I know across teams and conferences and divisions, you know, there's competitive advantage, but at the same time, you're kind of all thrown into this brand new system.
Yeah, I would say, I would not call it a collaboration. I would say there's been very interesting small talk among friends. Like we went down and when we had the joint practice with Pittsburgh, Coach Danny Smith and I just talking about, you know, how's it been going for you? Trying to glean a little bit of information. At the same time, you don't want to, you know, if you think you're on to something, you don't necessarily want to give it away.
Right.
How much, we were just talking about this a little bit, because during the preseason, you know, offensively, defensively, teams won't, you know, they'll hide things. They won't run exactly what they're going to run in the regular season. How much of that can you do, or do you think is happening league-wide with kickoffs of, hey, this is new, but we still don't really want to be showing, especially because it's new maybe even, we don't want to be showing everybody exactly what we're planning on?
Yeah, I think that's a very interesting balance because you also want to be able to have true live reps that you're checking out some of the things you're working on, checking out some of your theories. So way more than in the past, you're flirting with doing things and showing things just to get a chance to rep them against another team.
Bills special teams coordinator Matthew Smiley joining us on the Western Hotline. How about the type of player you need for this kickoff coverage unit or return unit? Is it, have you found that maybe it's a different type of player, whether it's body type or speed or strength, compared to the old kickoff style?
Yeah, I would say slightly different. I would say potentially, and it hasn't come up really around the league in the preseason as much, but potentially you could use on kick return a bigger body. You know, maybe an offensive lineman that's dressed for the game that's maybe not in the starting five. There may be a place for him, depending on what your scheme is, on kick return. That may be the most obvious difference moving forward.
Is the kick return as it is now? You know, it used to be that the coverage team and the return team were however many yards apart, and you're all running back together. Now, are there elements of punt return to it? I mean, when you really break down what is different for a coverage team or for a return team, how different is it where you're watching a guy catch a ball and then starting to try an attack?
Yeah, I would say the biggest difference is in the old rule, as you were running, you were diagnosing the play. So there would be, depending on what the teaching was, there'd be different keys that you were using as you were running down the field to start to figure out what type of return you are going against. Well, that has disappeared because there is no running as you're going. So some of those indicators, some of those keys now just don't exist. So especially for vets who have been covering kicks on Sunday afternoons for a long time, to them it feels so much different just because when that ball is caught by the returner or hits the ground, that play is starting right now, and I've already covered the 30 yards that I would have a year ago.
Matthew Smiley, Bills special teams coordinator on the Western Hotline. Do you like it? And has your opinion changed, I guess, in a couple of games as you've kind of seen it in action and also practice? Do you like what the change has brought so far?
Yeah, saying my opinion changed is saying that I didn't like it initially, which I don't think that's true. I think it was exciting right out the gate as far as being new and different and a challenge. There is, of course, a lot of unknowns that come with just the problem-solving aspect of it, but it's been so interesting. Corey Harkey's my assistant, and after every week, we sit down and watch all the games from around the league and just watching what people are trying, what problems are being solved. I think that's been super interesting.
How about conversations, you know, with the head coach or with when it comes to strategy during a game? You know, you might have had a system in place before, and now, I mean, watching it as someone at home, Matthew, when we're watching the game, they're lighting up the landing zone in green, and it feels like I've got to get it explained to me every time. It's not that complicated, but every time I get that reminder, do you expect the conversations about what to do to be different this year? Because in games, of course, now a play that might have been easy to kind of kill requires a little bit more thought.
Yeah, a lot of that, as we've been talking, even just game management and clock management, how it relates to kick return, some of those rules have changed. So as we're working through it, those conversations, you hope to have a lot of those conversations before you get into that actual situation in the game. But you're exactly right. A lot of just your normal, hey, where are we at on the grid? What do we do with this many timeouts, this much time? A lot of that stuff has changed. I talked to my dad the other night, called him, and that was the first thing he said. He's like, yeah, I still don't quite understand it. And it's funny. It seems straightforward rules-wise, but it's just so much different that the comfort level, especially for the fan, will get there for sure, but it's very different right now.
One of the million-dollar questions is, once we get to the regular season, do you anticipate more teams are if you've got the kicker with the leg to do it, taking it out of the equation and kicking into the end zone if possible? I'd mentioned before you came on, there's a story that the league might monitor that, and if it happened too much, change the touchback where that would be. Do you anticipate that a lot of teams are just going to do that and try and take it out of the equation?
I think that is definitely an option. I don't know how much that'll show up. That would be a week-to-week thing. What do you think the matchup is? What do you think? Where are you at in the game? So that's definitely an option. I think it's fair to say you'll see that more. To what rate, I'm not sure, than you are in the preseason.
How does it work with you in general with returners and who is available to you? Is it just a constant or even an original conversation with the coach or with McDermott or with Joe Brady about, hey, you have these guys available to you. You can't go after this guy because he's needed too much on offense. Is that a constant through the season when you're trying to figure out like who you have as a returner or who are even options for you at returner?
Yeah, I think that's one of the most important jobs as a special teams coach, figuring out roster, figuring out how it fits together, figuring out who's available week to week, who's not available. So that's always been kind of a challenge of a special teams guy, is figuring out who you can use, who you can't, where you can plug them in, how the puzzle fits together. So those conversations are always ongoing.
Buffalo Bills special teams coordinator Matthew Smiley. Before we let you go, I want to ask you about Tyler Bass and his season that's coming up. We'll get the occasional call about Bass's season last year. He's had a really good career for the Bills, but last year seemed to be a down year. And Matthew, my biggest, I guess, understanding of kickers or comparison, I'm always thinking about them like golfers. Like, they've got a swing, they've got technique, and sometimes something small can lead to a recurring problem. I live that life on the golf course. With Tyler Bass, like his season this year, was last year one you chalk up to situational, occasional misses? Is there something different about the way he will approach things this year? I wonder where you think Tyler Bass is right now.
Yeah, I'm excited about watching him kick this season. Season didn't end the way any of us wanted it to last year. There's a ton of things that go into
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Every play, every kick. And so he is very impressive, just getting to work with him every day in how aggressively he's working, how aggressively he's trying to grow, and just excited to watch him kick this year.
Last one for me, Matthew. Local kid, so he's become more of a story because of that and going to UB. Joe Andreessen, he kind of, I think, got fans talking more because of his defensive play on Saturday, but of course has done a lot with special teams with you too. What have you seen from him since he arrived this summer?
Oh, love working with Joe. Joe's been in our room, in the special teams room, since he's gotten here. And in the spring, early in camp, we move guys all over the place. So just trying to learn about guys, trying to expose them to different positions in our system in special teams. And I'm hard-pressed to put him in a spot where he looks or feels uncomfortable. So has just done a great job of keeping a level head, and as things are thrown his way, rising to the challenge. So I've really enjoyed working with him.
Bills special teams coordinator Matthew Smiley on the Western Hotline. Matthew, thanks so much for getting up early with us. You're tied for our earliest ever guest, I think. Maybe that's not just like sound
really?
Check. Yeah. Maybe. I mean, 6:15 is pretty early, so.
You'd have to be in Europe to beat it.
If I knew that there was a tie, I was sitting here just waiting to hit. I would have called in 30 seconds early.
All right. Next time we do it, we'll do it at 6:05.
All right, I'm in.
Thank you.
See ya.
All right, Bills special teams coordinator Matthew Smiley on the Western Hotline. Bills play Saturday against Carolina. Some good stuff out there in the NFL world today. We'll get to. There's a story about the Broncos making calls to make sure they got Bo Nix that I think is a good story worth telling.
Yeah,
I've got Kyle Shanahan and Matthew Stafford talking about the day that the Rams traded for Stafford.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool. So we'll check in with a bunch of stuff like that. We've got some Sabres chatter for you as well.
Really?
Yeah, a little bit of a...
Come on.
Yeah. There's a series of statistics, or that's probably not the way to say it, but something's been pointed out that needs to lead to a conversation about whether or not they have an internal cap. Saw some numbers that would really suggest that might be a thing. Doesn't have to be. Lots to get to. It's going to be a nice day. Happy Wednesday. Jeremy and Joe, final preseason week is on the way here on WGR. Sportage, tell your ride,
It is, and every year's show up, as you know, is different. But it's different this year because of some of what you mentioned, right, with those players that were so instrumental in helping us get this to where it is. And it's hard to see those players move on to either other teams or retire in different ways. And, you know, they're moving on to other chapters, new chapters for themselves and their families. And I'll forever be indebted to those names that you mentioned.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott with Chopa the Bulldog yesterday. You know, he made a comment, not with them yesterday, but right around the end of camp, where he's saying right there, I'll be forever indebted to those guys that left, and some went to different teams and some retired. You know, the retire is, looks like Micah Hyde. The different teams, it's Diggs, Poyer, Tre'Davious White.
Gabe Davis,
right?
Yep.
You could say it is lip service.
Tre'White.
You could say it's lip service, but at camp, at the end of camp, when he was talking about Diggs, he called him a great player, and he said really great things about him, which, you know, on one hand, you don't want to burn a bridge. You want to be respectful of a guy that was on your team. You're a coach. You never know what'll happen. You know, and it's not exactly Flores and Tua where they might be going after each other.
Right.
It made me wonder if McDermott, while maybe thinking it was time, didn't kind of rue that it was time. Like, it's really unfortunate that it went this way. You know, well, there are some Bills fans that are very quick to say, like, well, good riddance, I'm happy. If the head coach didn't have a little bit of, it is too bad because we broke up. We lost it. So anyway, you can find that at our website, McDermott with Shope and the Bulldog, calling it Josh Allen's team. There's one thing about that. There are different ways to say it's Josh Allen's team. One is when you turn over, hey, it's all you, baby. This is your time to shine. Go do it. We're loaded up for you. And that's not what this one is, I don't think. Now I think it is, we changed over a lot, and there'll be more change coming. Next year, they have a ton of draft picks and a ton of cap space. Next year, there'll be 10 more new players, and it'll be another, hey, everybody ultimately leaves except the quarterback and the coach. It's pretty much how it works.
Yeah.
I mean, Milano will eventually not be on the team, right? I mean, he'll come back from injury, but everybody leaves.
Hey, and you never know, right? Like, Tre'Davious White got a couple of injuries, and boom, his career was probably over a lot sooner than people thought it would be for the Bills, right?
Thought he would retire here, be on the Wall of Fame. Like, oh, just, you know, football's a rough game. Think about the Brady era and all the Brady years during the Bills drought. There are, like, four different versions of the Patriots we hated.
Yeah.
They all had Brady and Belichick. And the Bills will probably have two or three different versions of the Bills with McDermott and Allen, whether it's coordinators. You know, in New England, there's Bill O'Brien. There's Charlie Weiss.
Yep.
There's, who else is in that mix as offensive coordinator? Mike McDaniel? No. Who am I thinking of? Josh McDaniels.
Josh McDaniels.
Right? Like, there's a lot of changeover. There are the
Charlie Weiss.
There's the Welker years. There's the Edelman years. There's the Kevin Falk era. There's the Antoine Smith era.
Isn't there a lot of times, though, like, a guy that rides shotgun
the whole way?
Or okay. Like, Brady's was so long, nobody could have done that.
Who was his riding shotgun? It was Gronk, I guess, at best?
For, what, 15 years? Was it that long?
I mean, Gronk retired kind of early, did he not?
Let me look. Gronk retired, so 2010 to 2018.
Okay, 8 years.
And then
years.
Got back with him in Tampa for two more years.
That's probably his number 21. One riding shotgun guy.
Yeah.
Whose will Allen be? It looked like it was going to be Diggs. And of course, that's
Deion Dawkins.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, tackles can play a while. Isn't he going to go for how old is he? How old is Deion Dawkins? 30? Is he going to go another 5 years with the Bills?
He's probably not 30. Is he 30?
He's 30. Wow. He's 30. He's on the 17 team that breaks the drought. He's here before Allen.
Right. He's here a long time.
So, I mean, is he going to play till 35 years old at left tackle? I mean, Jason Peters is still out here, isn't he? At 41, still playing football.
Yeah.
So, does that should count, right? A tackle? A left tackle?
Sure.
Left tackle is an important position. Did Manning have a guy with the Colts? Didn't Reggie Wayne go the whole way with him?
It was a long time of it, right? He had Harrison for a while, Wayne.
Yep.
But in there, there's the Dallas Clark years, and there's Edgerrin James, and then who's the LSU running back? They had James Mungro from Syracuse.
Oh, Joseph Addai.
Thank you. Joseph Addai. Right, like
Joseph,
if you're with a team long enough, you're going to have two, three different runs if you're that kind of quarterback.
Roethlisberger was there long enough so where he had a Hines Ward era and then an Antonio Brown era.
Yeah, yeah. So this is kind of like the second part of Allen's era.
It's happening kind of early, though, for Allen, isn't it?
I don't think so, because Allen, he had a couple years to kind of spin up, right? Year one was a full rookie year where it's like, all right, well, there's some flashes. Year two, it's a wild card, and I feel like it starts the next year.
You know another thing that could be different in this conversation? Maybe not with Brady, although I guess, because Gronkowski is drafted and developed by the Patriots, right? Who were all of Allen's guys? Other than, like, Gabe Davis would count for this, and Knox, I guess, counts for this, and he's still here. But who were his great guys? Like, the guys that, when he gets great, who's here? It's Diggs,
Beasley,
and Brown who Sanders, are all already agents. Multiple years into their careers by the time they hook up with Josh Allen versus, like Reggie Wayne. Reggie Wayne starts his career with Manning at the same time with the Colts.
Yeah, the Bills probably made a point to bring veterans to surround the young guy.
Right.
And now he's the veteran, and now it's a little bit more of, like, young guys.
Whereas, like, if Keon Coleman is great, he'll be the name for this, right? Because he's 21,
Kincaid
22 years old,
Kincaid
so he'll go
for
the,
sure.
Kincaid, they'll go the whole way with his second phase, if they're great players.
Yeah.
And Kincaid probably will be.
Connect with our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Rob in Toronto. Hey, Rob, good morning.
Hey, good morning, boys. Love hearing you guys, and it makes waking up at 5:30. Your 6 o'clock show always brings a smile. You know, with regards to Milano, I mean, that's certainly your captain of the defense, and who knows when he comes back. That's what gives me pause. But when I heard McDermott yesterday, it didn't really sound like there was any trepidation there in his voice. I mean, he sounded kind of Belichick-esque in terms of next man up. You know, with Curtis Samuel being brought in, I haven't looked at the actual numbers, but I don't think he's actually been the healthiest guy on the planet. And turf toe is not something you just get over lightly. Mm-hmm. You know, with captains, I mean, yeah, Josh Allen definitely holds the flag. And it was kind of weird to hear McDermott being that candid yesterday. Because he's not normally like that. It was really good to hear him on with Shope and Bulldog. There's certainly some question marks going into the season, but if there's anything that gives me positivity is that McDermott's, I don't know, he's patchwork defenses. He's proved it before that they can win. I mean, with Josh Allen, they can win. And looking forward to the season. Now, Jeremy, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm trying to put together tailgate menus here. All right.
Nice. Yes.
And I'm trying to do around the world burgers here. All right. And with a smoker involved, any suggestions? Because I bought a smoker for the first time in my entire life last year, and now I'm absolutely addicted. Have you smoked burgers before, or what's your recommendation?
I don't know that I've smoked burgers. I don't think so. I mean, I've smoked ground beef on with some chili, over the top chili. If you have a smoker and you've never made over the top chili, you owe it to
yourself. That's the Cincinnati one that you guys were talking about.
No, that's
Skyline.
Over the top chili is you owe it to your friends and family to do this. Is the best chili you can make. Over the top chili is you get all the ingredients into like a Dutch oven. You put it on the smoker, then you get a giant ball of ground beef, pork, whatever. Season that up, and you smoke that over top of the oven, so all the stuff drips in. Break it all up. If you look up over the top chili, the directions are fairly easy, and it makes the best chili in the world. So if there's a tailgate week you feel like chili is the call, like early in the year when it's kind of warm out, that might not be it. Chili in October and November, I mean, you can't beat it. So,
well, thank you very much for your recommendation, and love you guys, and as always, every morning tune in. So thanks.
All right. Thanks, Rob. Thanks. Yeah, over the top chili. It won the family cook-off 2 years ago. Last year, there was controversy involved. You know, it's fine. We didn't have Gene Steratore to get a ruling on who.
What was the controversy?
The controversy was simply this: that the family cook-off at the tailgate, there were two tables of of crockpots.
Okay. Yeah.
And there might have been, upon an audit, a realization that not everybody knew that the second table existed. So anybody that was on table two maybe didn't get the same number of tasters.
The voting was the controversy.
A little bit. I mean, it wasn't that controversial. But there was a suggestion that perhaps the splitting of the tables.
Yeah, now that's... You got to be clear about that, I think, next year, right?
Well, I'll just tell you this. It hasn't discouraged me from entering Over the Top Chili a third time this year. I'm going to do it again.
And until it loses.
I'm going to try and... Well, it lost last year. Because
you didn't win last year?
I did not win last year. No.
Wow.
Yeah. 2 years ago, I did. But I'm going
to... You got to change it up then a little bit. You got to throw... What are they doing Kansas City? Throw some cinnamon rolls in there.
It's not a bad idea.
Throw some cinnamon rolls in the chili.
I mean, when we do the family chili cook-off, I mean, like, there's like 7 or 8 really good chilies. It's a fun day. Tailgate menu. Arizona is first up.
Arizona. Didn't someone ask if scorpions were edible recently?
We did. We discussed scorpions.
Get some scorpions in
and
there.
And they are, yes.
But they're arachnids. It'd be like the same as eating a spider.
Well, a big spider.
A big spider.
It's got some meat on it.
You want to eat a big spider?
A meaty spider?
Meaty spider.
Yeah, you know what? I'd like to put a little bit of fear into a spider or a scorpion.
The thought of eating a spider makes me want to walk out of this room.
Mm-hmm.
It's disgusting.
Isn't there something like the statistic is everybody eats 3 spiders a year? They just don't know it?
Yes. No, that's a real
thing. That's a thing.
Thank you for that. Like a tarantula.
That. How do you know?
That you would know, I think. I think when they say that, they mean like little microscopic spiders.
Yeah, you wake up.
You can't even really see.
You wake up and you're just full. Man.
Right.
Wonder what that was.
Yeah. Yep.
803-0550. Thanks, Rob. If you missed Matthew Smiley, we're going to replay it later this morning. We don't normally replay an interview, but we had the Bill special teams coordinator on at 6:15. So maybe 8 o'clock hour, we'll run that back and make sure more people are able to hear it. Or, of course, you can go to our website and, go to the app, rewind, check that out. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. If you want to jump in, talk tailgating, talk special teams, talk Josh Allen's second stint kind of here. That McDermott quote about leadership and indebted to those guys, and now it's Josh's team. I feel like Josh would have a similar sentiment about all of it. 803-0550, that's how you get in touch with us. Give us a call. Hanging out here on WGR. Beautiful Wednesday. Good morning.
The moon was like...
I noticed that last
super
night.
Super bright.
Yeah, last night I noticed.
Super blue moon I saw.
Okay.
All these different kinds of moons.
A lot of moons.
Are there too many moons?
Well, there's only one.
There's only one.
Jupiter's got like...
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what number I want to say. When I was growing up, it might have been like 25, and now maybe they have 50.
Like, there's the super blue moon now. There's the harvest moon. There's the... I mean, there's like waning and waxing gibbous. Those are the normal ones, right?
Jupiter has 92 moons.
All right, we're up to 92. Thank you.
I think they have more than that.
They find
new ones like every year.
I thought you were going to make a claim they're hiding some of Jupiter's moons from us.
No, I think Jupiter is hiding its
92?
Moons from us.
I think there's more than that. James in Derby. Hey, James, good morning.
Morning. I just have been feeling very pessimistic about our team this year. I guess it started with the draft. I really wanted Leggett, but, Adonai Mitchell, Worthy, McConkie. Those would have been, I would have thought good picks. And then when they said Cam Coleman, I was like, who? And then Curtis Samuel is turf toe. We got rid of all of our veterans. So that's my question is, where do you guys realistically think our offense will end the year? And how do you think the year will go for us?
Thanks, James. Where will they finish offensively?
9th.
To me, that is like a million-dollar question. 9th, would I – you asked me
– guess.
2 weeks ago or a month ago, would I take 6th?
Yeah,
and I said yes so fast that I almost
spit.
Yes, I would take 6th. Would I take 9th?
Would you take 9th right now? They have the 9th best offense in the league.
No, I think the floor is like 11, 10.
9th is almost as bad as they can do if Josh Allen's healthy.
That's the thing. Josh Allen is your quarterback. You should expect to be...
Top 10 at least.
Yeah, and I think that... They'll have some success running the ball this year. I think they'll be better at that. Pessimistic on them. I think that is reasonable when you compare it to previous seasons. But You know, McDermott can coach defense. One thing I wonder about, maybe we can get into this a little more. Yesterday, we said, like, hey, if the offense is good, does McDermott get any credit from anybody for that? Because I think he doesn't get any credit for their offense.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to make a case that he shouldn't, you know, there's a case. I wonder if they were to win the division with this version of them, because their offense is ninth and Allen carries their offense and McDermott patches together a defense that is without a lot of the guys that have carried them for many, many years,
mm-hmm.
a bunch of new faces. If Cole Bishop and Mike Edwards are healthy and become, wow, look at these two, one of the best safety tandems in football, who gets credit for that?
McDermott.
He should get a ton.
Mm-hmm.
It would be like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I might not like his game day decision making, but he certainly has the secret formula to build a defensive backfield. Rasul Douglas is good. Christian Benford, they developed into a really nice player. If Elam continues to do what he does, if Taron John, right? Mm-hmm. It can't be a coincidence if they put together a good secondary again and they do it with a second round pick and a low tier free agent. Mike Edwards not exactly a high tier free agent.
No, not at all.
So I get it, James. Like, to be a little bit pessimistic or concerned or squirrely or have questions, I think that's fair. But that also means if they're, you know, pretty good, we can be pleasantly surprised. And even the floor for what they will.
He's mostly basing it on who they drafted or where they ended up at receiver. Which isn't that where you would get the most pessimistic is?
You probably would.
Where they've ended up at and wide receiver for this season.
There's another name out there. Want to get to this? There's another name at receiver who you could think about maybe making a call and trading for. It's not Ayuk. I'm checking his cap hit right now. His cap hit is $4 million, so you could do that. You know who it is?
I have a name, but I can't believe this is who you're thinking of.
Who?
Jamar Chase?
No.
Okay, because I think his cap is $4 million.
No.
Okay.
This is
not Jamar Chase?
This is a player
okay.
who right now his team doesn't like him. First round pick of 2022.
I think you're still describing Jahmyr Chase.
Jahan Dotson.
Okay, but another slot receiver.
Well,
unless you think there are some, maybe they think he can do more.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a first round pick, not like Shakir's a fifth round pick. Oh, he can do everything.
I saw comps for him when he came out, like Emmanuel Sanders.
Yeah.
If you were to tell me they can find an Emmanuel Sanders for this group, like, lock it in. Let's go.
I like that player a lot.
Jahan Dotson, the story in Washington is, for whatever reason, is losing his job to
Olamide Zaccheaus, yeah. I think is the guy that's taking his job.
I'll check reception perception, see what Matt Harmon has to say about
Jahan. I think he likes him.
About Jahan Dotson.
Oh. Yeah.
He likes Curtis Samuel.
I'm a little biased because I have him in a lot of fantasy leagues in the last 2 years, but that also allows me to probably read more about him than most. I think he's a good player.
Well, it's a name. I'll tell you a little more about him when we get back. I've got Harmon's breakdown, what he does well, how he could work. Yeah, he says one line here, can definitely win outside. But maybe he should be more of an inside guy, maximized. Yeah, you're right. Jeremy and Joe, just a name. Just saying it. If you were thinking about receiver, that's a name. I've seen his name thrown in trade rumors just because he's drifting down the depth chart. Washington, for whatever reason, doesn't like him. Okay, when we get back, Brian Flores on Tua. His comments, Flores responds. Not just Flores, but the entire Vikings organization. They did the thing when they felt like they had to support a coach. Tell you about that. Do some Bills rookie receiver trivia. Joe Marino, Lockdown Bills podcast, 7:30. All coming up.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.